Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Project supports community-led resilience processes. The Community Conservation Resilience Initiative, a project promoted since 2013 by the Global Forest Coalition to be implemented in 20 countries and at least 60 communities, has as its main goal to sustain and strengthen the resilience of community conservation practices, including conserved territories and areas, in light of existing or potential external and internal threats. The initiative was established by an informal alliance of national and international indigenous peoples organizations, non-governmental organizations and social movements that share the joint belief in community governance and rights-based approaches to biodiversity and ecosystem conservation and restoration. The draft methodology of the Community Conservation Resilience Initiative of December 2013 says the main objective is to perform a bottom-up assessment of the resilience of indigenous peoples and local communities' initiatives and approaches to conservation and restoration and the legal, political, socio-economic, financial, technical, and capacity-building support that could assist in sustaining and strengthening such initiatives and approaches. Sometime after the initiative was implemented in several countries, Real World Radio interviewed activist David Kuriba, project officer on forests and biodiversity of the National Association of Professional Environmentalists, Friends of the Earth Uganda, to know more about the project and especially its development in Uganda. Kuriba is also the coordinator of forests and biodiversity of Friends of the Earth groups in Africa and the focal person for the Global Forest Coalition member groups in the continent.
Real World Radio is again in contact with David Kuriba. He is the project officer on forests and biodiversity of the National Association of Professional Environmentalists, NAPE, Friends of the Earth, Uganda. David is also the coordinator of the Forests and Biodiversity Program of Friends of the Earth groups in Africa. David, welcome to Real World Radio. It's very nice to be in touch with you again, David.
You're most welcome, Jose.
David, we are having this call because from NAPE, Friends of the Earth Uganda, you have something very important to say related to the Community Conservation Resilience Initiative and in which ways it relates to biodiversity conservation. First of all, I would like to say, David, that this is an initiative that several groups launched in 2013. The Community Conservation Resilience Initiative was established by an informal alliance of national and international indigenous peoples, organizations, non-governmental organizations, and social movements that shared a joint belief in community governance and rights-based approaches to biodiversity and ecosystem conservation and restoration. David, I would like to ask you, which were the organizations, social movements, at least in general terms, that were behind this initiative just 2 years ago, and what was the purpose to launch it, David?
Thank you very much, Jose. Maybe before I come to that, there is something that you have not mentioned. I'm a human person for Global Forest Coalition, and I also coordinate Global Forest Coalition members in Africa.
Exactly.
This initiative, like you've mentioned, it started in 2012, actually. And it was aimed at being implemented in 20 countries. The main goal of this activity project is to sustain and strengthen the resilience of community conservation practices in light of the existing and potential external and internal threats. You know, especially in Africa, there are challenges related to development, and in this era of climate change, with developers, they don't discriminate whether these are wetlands, whether these are forests, whether these are indigenous communities, whether these are local communities. For them, their aim is just to develop. So the brain behind this initiative is Global Forest Coalition members in South America, in Uganda, in Africa, in Ethiopia, in the small islands, in all those. So there are three main sub-objectives. One is to develop a special methodology for indigenous peoples and local communities to document and analyze their own resilience. The communities have knowledge on how they use the indigenous approaches to conservation of nature. The second one is the bottom-up assessment of community conservation resilience and various forms of support sustain and strengthen them. You know, oftentimes what governments do is starting from the top and then roll down the support to communities. But what we are doing with this project is a bottom-up approach. It is communities who assess their own challenges, their own strengths, their own opportunities, and then they go ahead to demand, say, from government to be able to give them a platform to explore their potential. The third one is to implement the national and international advocacy campaigns in support of communities, assessments and recommendations. After we have conducted research in these pilot projects that we are conducting in Africa, in South America, in many, many countries, then we shall have national meetings where the representatives of communities will meet and be able to stage demands. And at that level, still we shall go ahead and have demands at the international level. That is the small background about the Community Conservation Resilience Initiative, where we are doing assessments in communities that are forest dependent with indigenous communities.
Okay, David. It started 2 years ago. I would like to ask, what about the development of this initiative? In which way you would make an assessment? What would you say about how it went during those 2 years?
Yeah, actually, in these 2 years, we are doing kind of compiling a study where we start of our preparation. We do preparation and strategic visioning with communities. We do site selection, including, of course, FPIC, because we don't want to work with communities when they don't consent. They have to consent, we identify, and then think with them. They have to think on their own. They have the knowledge. They know what they want. So we do strategic visioning. And then we have mutual learning skills with them. And then we do baselines. And it is from those baselines that we're going to have what they call the gaps and the energy that they need, the kind of support that they need, that we'll discuss at national level. And from there, it will be discussed at international level. So far, what we are doing now is compiling data regarding the community strengths and where they feel they need support to be able to propel their own interests.
Okay, David, and when the different organizations, social movements, indigenous organizations, etc., prepared this project, did you think in a long-term work, did you think about a specific year in which you would like to reach some goals, or it's something that it's just being done and you didn't fix a time to get all the work done?
No, actually, we find it very important. If you look at, for example, the IT targets, there is no way you can meet the IT targets without involving the communities. If you're talking about conservation and restoration, 17% of the world lost ecosystem, it has to be worked with communities. And it is communities who can conserve the water catchments, the indigenous systems in farming. They are the ones who can conserve the soils. They are the ones, actually, the ones that can keep the local climate in its state. Otherwise, if, for example, we don't involve the local communities or the forest dwellers or the forest-dependent communities or indigenous communities in their own setting, then it means that the corporate power will capture all the resources that would actually be benefited on by the local communities and indigenous peoples, and eventually it will culminate into climate change, because there is nothing that will be left as developers and these industrialists just like to have to just maximize profits.
Okay, and what do you know, David, about the project in other countries? Because we, as you said before, and we know that the idea was to undertake that in something like around 20 countries and with 60 communities. What do you know about its involvement in other countries?
Yeah, it is happening in Colombia. It is now also being done in Ethiopia. It has been done in Uganda. And there are very many other actually countries that are going to take part. But even also in Paraguay. And we are still fundraising to see that this project goes ahead and gets sustained. Of course, it has just begun. Like you're saying, it is for 2 years. We just did the first round of conducting the studies, and we are now in the second phase of conducting the studies. We shall compile all these reports, and even during the World Forum, which will be happening in South Africa, we shall make presentations, and of course we shall also present our demands.
Okay, David, and why would you say that it's a very important work, especially in your country, in Uganda? Why do you think that this project is needed?
This project is very much needed because communities are the ones who interact with those resources. Communities own resources. Communities can better have sustained life in their settings where they are neighboring and they are in full control of their resources, as compared, for example, to massive production of food with a monoculture, but with indigenous approach to food production, to their way of living, resource conservation like water conservation and all that. If communities are doing it the way they have been doing it rudimentarily for all these years, it means that you will have sustainability of forest, sustainability of seeds, sustainability of even facility in the soil as compared to overuse of chemicals, removed from their land. It is happening here, land grabbing. It means if we are together, manning their resources, they can stand a chance of resisting land grabbing, having revived their way of lifestyle, and be able to restore the lost ecosystem.
Okay, David, what kind of threats do those communities face, and they have to be in front of, I guess, different threats? What kind of things they are living in their territories that with this kind of project they can be helped in their work? What can you tell us about that?
Thank you very much. One, we have mining, oil mining in Uganda. Uganda discovered oil and they have started mining, and this has culminated into land grabbing. Of course, where they are going to run pipes, where they are going to run put refineries, where they are going to put roads, all that will culminate into land grabbing. But this strategy will attempt to address, because people, first of all, are kept together, they have a unified voice, they have like strength and structures, therefore they can stand that. Two, like oil palm. There is oil palm establishment. Definitely, oil palm is not like production of food, where you're growing food for the community, for the masses that are almost serving. This is you have heard of agrofuels, like producing plants to generate fuel for the cars. I think this is also something that needs to be resisted. So with this kind of approach, it will try to withstand the destruction of forests at the expense of, for example, agrofuels and, palm oil. Then the third, we're looking at producing. Most forests have been, where communities used to survive and get their livelihood, they are being repressed by pine. So with this kind of initiative, it means that they will occupy their land, make use of indigenous species that are there, and they will not rush for pine and other alien species that will eventually kill their environment. So largely, mining is one major, oil palm establishment is another one, and other agribusinesses that are done in kind of extensive farming. We strongly believe in the way the communities used to live. They stay in their territories and they try to kind of resist the kind of people that will come to grab their land, people that will want to destroy their forests, for maybe paper making materials and things like those ones.
Okay, David. What about the other organizations which are involved in this initiative in Uganda? Can you name them, or at least some of them, David?
Yeah, we have NAWAD, that is National Action for Women National Association of Women Action and Development. We have AFIEGO, that is Africa Institute for Energy Governance. We have Environmental Arts, and we are working with Friends of Environment and Development.
Okay, and you also said that there are social movements and indigenous organizations involved in that, David? I mean, they are really part of the project.
Yeah, they are really part of the project. They have passion for communities. They have passion for ensuring that their environment does not just disappear in a twinkle of an eye.
Okay, David. I think it's good to frame it in the work that Friends of the Earth International is doing, trying to recover traditional knowledge, indigenous people's way of living, as real solutions to protect forests and biodiversity, and also as real solutions to climate change, for example, and to confront the destruction of the forest, because at the same time that there are, for example, in the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, there are organizations, peoples, and especially countries, northern countries, supporting projects like reducing emissions from deforestation and degradation, like RED, and other mechanisms also that are being promoted by northern countries, by several groups, by corporations. In the contrary, Friends of the Earth International and Friends of the Earth groups like Uganda, for example, are trying to promote the traditional ways of living as the ways that for years, from generation after generation, have been developed by young communities and have shown that they are really sustainable, David. I think that's the approach that as part of Friends of the Earth Uganda and Friends of the Earth International you are doing.
Exactly. You have mentioned it. I wanted to bring it because I wanted also to bring you the story where we are going to conduct a research on collaborative forest management. And we are saying that in collaborative forest management, the element of ICCS should be brought on board, because the indigenous community conserved areas form a very big part, and also they help in when it comes to kind of collaborative forest management. They should be part of those people that collaborate in forest management, and we strongly believe in that. And we like you mentioning, Friends of the Earth does not believe in forest solution. If you're talking about RED, for example, communities, forests should not be leased and should not be reduced to carbon sinks. And it is the reason we're having this project, and it is in line with our policy clear. We say not RED, because we don't see RED as something that can benefit communities, and because it will deter people and it will change communities' lifestyle. I entirely agree with you, and it is in line with Friends of the Earth International policy framework.
Okay, it was David Kiriba. He's the project officer on forests and biodiversity of the National Association of Professional Environmentalists, NAPE, Friends of the Earth Uganda. David also is the coordinator of forests and biodiversity of Friends of the Earth groups in Africa, and as he said at the beginning of the interview, the focal person for the Global Forest Coalition member groups also in this continent in Africa. David, you have been very nice. Thank you very much for this time and for talking to us.
You're most welcome.
This initiative.
You are most welcome, Jose.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words.